In this lesson, we're going to focus on the virtual firewalls, multiple contexts, how to set them up from soup to dessert. So let's start off by talking about exactly what is a virtual firewall. Well, it's the ability to have more than one logical firewall living in the same physical box. Now, this is totally separate from whether or not you're doing failover. We already covered in failover how you'd support multiple contexts. So in this section, we're going to focus on a brand new firewall, how to make sure it's in multiple context mode, how to set up the system execution space, carve out the individual contexts, and then make sure our configurations are saved and that they work. So let's begin with the configuration. On the ASA, just like on all the other ASA properties we have with the new firewall, you'd want to make sure that layer 2 is there for you. Make sure the physical interfaces that are being supported by switch ports, that on those respective switches, you've assigned them to the appropriate VLAN. So if the inside interface, E01, is supposed to be in VLAN 20, make sure that switch port is set up that way. If you're using VLAN sub-interfaces, great, no problem whatsoever. Make sure the trunking is going to the major physical interface on the ASA, and then that'll give you the opportunity to carve out your VLANs in system configuration mode and assign them to your contexts and have them functional. So again, start off with layer 2, make sure layer 2 is solid and happy. And then we go to the ASA, and the first thing we do in privilege mode is, and you can jump into configuration mode and do this as well, you're going to do show mode. And it's going to say one of two things. It's going to say I'm single, you know, good candidate for eHarmony, or it's going to say I'm in multiple mode, which means multiple context. If it's not in multiple mode, you need to change that by saying mode space multiple. It's going to ask you, are you sure? It's going to require a reboot. It may or may not ask you, do you want to create an admin context? Say no to that. You don't need it to do any kind of help for you, and reboot it. When it comes back, you'll log in again, do a show mode. It should say multiple, and then we're ready to begin. Now on this ASA, we're ready to configure it. Let's just back up just a second and talk about some items that are going to impact how we'll configure this device. Is our firewall in transparent mode? Is it in routed mode? That's going to make a difference. And I'll tell you why. The classification of traffic is important because when your interfaces get a packet, they need to know, the firewall needs to know, okay, which context does this belong to? Well, it's really simple. If you're not sharing any interfaces and E01 belongs to context one, poof, it knows, okay, that came in on this interface, it belongs to context one. However, if you're sharing an interface, how does it know? Well, there's two options for that. One is you could have unique MAC addresses for each of the logical interfaces, and that would be one separation mechanism for classifying traffic, is NAT. You could have separate NATs. So if the traffic is coming in for an IP address of 20.0.0.1 and context one has that static translation, then the firewall as a whole says, oh, that belongs to context one. So why does that matter? I would strongly recommend, unless otherwise asked not to, to do MAC address auto in the configuration of your ASA in system config. And MAC address auto will simply assign unique MAC addresses to each and every interface. And unless they say you can't, it won't cause you any damage. In production, it won't cause you any damage. And it won't lose you any points if they haven't said specifically that you're not allowed to do that. So once you've said MAC-address auto, the next thing I would do is I would go to every interface that I plan to be using. If it's failover that's also included, I'd include the failover interface. And from the system execution space, which is where you currently are, I would do a no-shut on all those interfaces. Next, if you have any sub-interfaces that will be allocated to your contexts, you'd want to create those. So if you're going to use interface E0/1.2 and interface E01.3 and 1.4, there in system execution space, you'd say interface Ethernet 0/1.2 and say VLAN X to assign the VLAN to them. That way, when you hand those logical interfaces down to your contexts, they'll be able to work with them and deal with them. So the first thing we'd want to do is before we start configuring any new context, we want to take a look at the flash and make sure there's no configuration config files for a context sitting on the flash. Here's why. If we create context one and there was context one from a previous student, and there's a file there. When we point to the config URL, if it's the same name, it's going to read in all of his stuff. So if you want to leave it on the flash, that's a possibility. Could you rename it? Now, here's what you're going to do. Just if there's any config files, context.cfg, what have you, or context.txt, I would go ahead and rename them or delete them. And that way you don't have to worry about them overwriting your config. So just make sure there's nothing sitting on the flash that's going to cause you grief. So how do you create your context? Well, the easiest way to do it is to type in context space and then the name of your context from system execution space, and that will create the container, if you will, for your context. Before we actually jump in and create a context, let's talk about the admin context. What the heck is the admin context? Well, you could have a context named admin that was the admin context also, or you could have context 1 and context 2 and assign the admin context role to context 1. What does it really mean? Well, if context 1 is the quote-unquote admin context, when you telnet or SSH to context 1, poof, guess what? You're King Kong. You can change to the other context and move around. On the other hand, if I telnet or SSH to context 2 and I try to do a change to context command, I'm locked in. Additionally, if the system itself needs to reach out and touch somebody, it's going to use the services located in the context that's assigned as the admin. So what I would recommend, unless you've been asked in your lab to have a context called admin, delete it. And then you can assign context 1, context 2, or what have you as the admin context. Let me give you an example of exactly what I mean. So let's say we've deleted all the context, the default context of admin. If it converted over, there's no context. Do a show context detail, nothing. First thing we're going to do is we're going to say admin-context, context 1 as an example. If that context doesn't exist, it'll create it for you. Then you're going to type in context space context 1 to put you into context configuration mode, still in the system execution space. We haven't actually gone into the virtual firewall yet. We're still in the system space. Inside of context configuration mode, we're going to allocate some interfaces. You can allocate sub-interfaces. You can allocate redundant interfaces, which we haven't talked about yet. That's coming up in the next module or two. But any interfaces that you want the context to have, you give it to them with the allocate-interface command and then the name of that interface. If you want to put a name on that interface, you can say allocate-interface space E0/1 as an example space, and then give it a name. And by default, the actual user inside that virtual context will only see that name you gave it. It hides the hardware aspects of the interface. So that's how you hide the physical properties of the interface from the administrator of that individual context. Once you've assigned and allocated your interfaces to that context, you're also going to specify where it should save its configuration file. The syntax for that is config-url space, and you can just type in context1.cfg or whatever they asked you to call it. Be case sensitive. If they're looking for CTX1, all uppercase, give it to them. If they're looking for lowercase C1 or context1, give it to them. So when you create your context, be careful of the case, because if they're grading it looking for a certain case, you want to give them what they want. And then when you create the config URL, I would recommend the same exact name of the context and a .cfg or a .txt, depending on what they ask you to do. What will happen when you say config-url and you specify the file name, it's going to pop up a message saying, sorry, I couldn't find that URL, c1.cfg or context1.cfg or whatever you named it. I'm going to go ahead and create it for you. That's the moment, by the way, that if there was on the flash a configuration file, it would have read in the entire config, and you would have had that with good, bad, wrong IP addresses, what have you, inside of your config. So be very careful not to read in somebody else's CFGs that were left there previously. Okay, so once that's done, great. You've got your context one. You've got some interfaces assigned. All you need to do is wash, rinse, and repeat for your additional context. So you could create context two, allocate the interface you want to allocate there, specify the config URL, and if they wanted a third context, you could create, even if it's a two-context license, you could create a third context called admin, and you could assign it an interface. And then when you go and manage that context called admin, you can basically use the management only command if they don't want that interface to be routed, and you could manage the entire box from the admin context. So be flexible. Whatever they ask you to do, do it. So that's how you carve out individual contexts, assign them interfaces, and let's talk about being fair. What if you have two contexts, context one and context two, and you're worried that the administrator of context one is going to hog all the resources? How do you put limits on how much a context can use? And the answer is simple. We're going to set up classes. Normally, in public environments, setting up classes isn't very politically correct. But, you know, on a firewall where we're controlling the resources, it's absolutely okay. To create a class, you simply type in system execution space. We haven't done a change to context yet. Everything we're talking about here is in system execution space. We simply type in class space and give it a name. I'm going to use one called gold, which means, you know, pretty cool. Or I can make a class called silver. Either way, class space, name it. That puts you into class configuration mode. And then the command is limit dash resource space. And then you can limit anything you want. MAC addresses, how many connections, number of translations, number of SSH sessions, number of hosts, anything you want. So once you create this class, how do you apply it to a context? Simple. Still in system configuration space, you type in context space context one. That puts you into context configuration mode for that context. And you simply say member space gold. That's it. And that's how you can assign limits to the various contexts that you create. If you don't assign a context to a class that you created, they all belong to the default class, which is limiting Telnet, SSH, and IPsec sessions to 5 each, and also limiting each context to 65,535 MAC address entries. And that's it. So if you want to create additional limits, create your classes and assign those contexts to those classes. Before we use the change to context command to jump into the virtual firewalls, how do we verify that our contexts are set up correctly? And the quickest way, one of the quickest ways, is to show context detail. Press enter, and it'll give you all of the contexts. It'll have an asterisk next to the context that is the quote-unquote admin context. It'll show you the interfaces that are assigned. It'll also show you the configuration URL that you've assigned each one of those. One other key thing we want to do here in the system space is make sure you do a write mem all, WR space MEM space all. That'll save your system execution space, all the work we've just done. Plus, it'll write those actual configuration files for each of your contexts to the disk. Because until somebody does a write mem inside of a virtual firewall, it won't actually be saved persistently on the disk. If you set up classes and you want to verify what is in each of those classes as far as limitations of SSH sessions or connections, you can do a show resource allocation detail. And although your firewalls will probably never get near capacity to what you've limited them to, you can still see as it shows you the class they're assigned and the limit that's been imposed on them. And that's a great way to verify that the commands you put for classes and the memberships actually stuck. One other tip I want to add here inside of our system space is that if you have multiple context firewalls and you're doing failover and you've got these two boxes and you can be in system space or context mode, it's easy to get lost. And here's some help that I want to offer. If you want to change your prompt can let you know exactly where you're at. And here's how you do it. Use the keyword prompt space hostname, that part's obvious, space context, so that when you use the change to context, context one command, it'll show you hostname slash context. That's the default. But if you're doing failover, you can add two more items to the prompt that make sense. So it's prompt, hostname, context, space priority, which will be primary or secondary. That'll let you know which physical firewall you happen to be on. Space state, are you active or are you standby for the current context you're looking at? So prompt, hostname, context, priority state. If you're not doing failover, you don't need to add the priority and state. However, if you are, it can be very handy to remind you of exactly where you are in the config. So to get to a virtual firewall for configuration of that virtual firewall, from the system execution space, it's change to space context space and the name of the context you want to change to. Poof, your prompt changes to the firewall name slash the context name, and you're ready to go. If you want to go back to the system space, you can type in change to space system, or you can type in change to space context system. Either way gets you back there. But to go to a context, you have to use the context keyword, and you'll be able to go back and forth. If you're on the console port of either ASA, you can do a change to any context you want to. Please be aware, if you have active failover configured, you only want to make changes on the firewall that is active for the context that you're working on. And that's where that prompt will come in very, very handy as well. Once you do the change to context, context one, everything else inside that context is the same as it is in a normal firewall. I should say the same. There are some limitations. We cannot terminate an IPsec tunnel to a context. You can't run dynamic routing protocols to a context. So I guess there's actually less to do. But the things like access lists and NATs and globals, URL filtering, AAA, everything else, virtually everything else is the same as it would be on a normal firewall. So once you've set up your logical context in your drawings, you may want to represent that as a physically separate firewall just to make sure that as you look at your paper, you'll know exactly where you're at. And if I haven't mentioned it before, now's a good time. When you go through your lab, my recommendation is to peruse the entire lab first. Give it a good quick read. Make sure you understand all the pieces. In your head, in the subconscious, you'll be processing some of that. Hopefully that's a positive thing. And then I would also redraw your network. I've had students who've claimed, oh, I can pass this lab. I don't need to redraw the network. It's so straightforward. I'll tell you what, I don't know anybody personally who passed in the first or second time who did it without drawing some diagrams. Your network is going to change. GRE tunnels with IPsec are going to show up. DMVPN with EIGRP overlays may show up. And as that shows up, traffic patterns change. So I would do a quick drawing of your network. Don't detail everything. Like, this is the hardware on this physical interface. It was manufactured in 19, whatever. Just the overview where your devices are. And then as your tunnels come in, draw those in as well to make sure you know exactly where they're at. NAT, holy shpamoli. We need to document where those NATs are on the topology so that you can look at your diagram, and when it says this AAA server needs to talk to this device that's through the firewall, you can know exactly what NATing is going on with a quick look. They will not show that in the diagrams they're providing you. You need to add that to your own. So practice drawing out your networks. You should be able to draw an entire network out for the lab in about 10 minutes. If you don't do it well, no problem. You've got time. If you're listening to this, that means you're not in the lab today. So if you've got time, practice drawing out your topologies. If they're not readable, they're not usable. So make sure you have practice drawing out your topologies, making sure they're fairly quick, and make sure they're right. As you go through, make sure that you're putting on the correct interfaces and the correct networks and the correct VLANs if that's what you're documenting. Because if you look back at your documentation and it's wrong, that will carry over into your configs. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox. In this section, we've taken a look at multiple context firewalls. To set it up, real simple, mode, space, multiple. We've talked about how to create the context, allocate them interfaces, create classes, assign classes to those contexts, and how to change back and forth between them. We also identified that you can have three contexts on a firewall that's even licensed just for two if you create literally a third context called admin, which very likely would be the context designated as the admin context. Our next section is another one of my favorites. It's the modular policy framework with class maps and policy maps and inspect maps. And we'll see you for that in the next section.